as I was praying and reading this week, I couldn't get this out of my mind of where, you know, it's a passage that's familiar, but it's that passage that it's in Exodus chapter 33. So you want to turn there. I don't know. It's just there's those times when you're studying and you're thinking, okay, God, what do you want? What do you have for me? Because I need it first and worst, probably, is the way I look at it. And then once I understand that I'm just preaching to me, then whatever you get is what God gives you. And as long as I make sure I get what He's trying to teach me. And so that's my prayer for this as well. So let's ask a blessing on His Word as we go into it. Father, as we open Your Word, we know You've promised that it'll never return into void, but will accomplish everything You set it out to do. And so, Lord, we just pray that as we read Your Word, that, Lord, You would do just that. You would change our lives, change our hearts, our minds, that we would honor and glorify You with our lives. We thank You and we praise You for the opportunity to be here. In Your name we pray. Amen. Exodus chapter 33, my title says, The Command to Leave Sinai. God is commanding the people. They've been there around Sinai, the Mount Sinai, and God is going to tell them to leave. And can you imagine how hard that would have been? I mean, here you are, you're standing, and if you weren't, even if you weren't Moses that was getting to go up on the mountain, if you were just the people and you see the presence of God, the fire on the mountain and the cloud around the mountain, and you know it's the presence of God, and you're seeing all of this, and then you're getting the command to leave. And especially for Moses, to be able to come up on that mountain and to experience the presence of God, like we talked about this morning, and then God saying, okay, now I want you to leave this place, the place where you are probably the closest He's ever been to God. Now, He was close at the burning bush, and there's other times, but here He's up on the mountain with God, and we have those mountaintop experiences, and to think, okay, God is saying, now I want you to leave here. I want you to go from here. And as I think about that, there are times in my life that I know I feel really secure. And God says, I want you to leave this secure place. I can remember back when we were youth pastors, and I was comfortable. I felt like I was doing what God called me to do. And then the church called me to, or asked me to consider becoming the pastor. And I really felt like I was leaving my secure mountain. I really did, because I just felt like that was a time throughout my life that God was molding me and He was teaching me more than He was ever teaching any of them. And I just felt like because of that time in my life, I just felt like I was where I was supposed to be. And then God said, I'm going to have you leave this position and go somewhere that's going to scare you to death. And it did. But I knew that He would go with me. So let's go ahead and let's start this 33 where He commands them to leave that spot. And as we do this, as we study this, I want us to stop and think about how comfortable we get and that God wants you to move out of your comfort. Then the Lord said to Moses, Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land of which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, To your descendants I will give it, and I will send my angel before you. I will drive out the Canaanites, and the Amorite, and the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to the land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people. Okay, they've been in this relationship with God, and He obviously knows what kind of people they are. He knows how they complain about everything. They don't get what they want, and they're always whining. And I'm sure that we can all relate that we've been in those places before. But God tells him, he says, I've swore that I'm going to give this land that you're going to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm going to give it to you. And he goes on, he says, I will send my angel before you. Well, that should be comfort right there. If God says, I want you to leave your comfort zone, but I'm going to send my angel before you, that should be enough. But it's generally not. Because, well, what if he's out before me and I'm back here? But he says, I will send my angel before you. And then he goes on to say, I will drive out this list of people. I'm going to drive them out for you. So God says, I will do this. I'll send my angel and I'm going to drive these people out before you. You're not going to have to do anything. That's what it kind of sounds like. But he says, I will drive them out before you, all of these people. And so you and I would think, well, that would be pretty reassuring to say that when God says, I'm going to send my angel ahead of you, God goes before us. We know that no matter where God sends us, He promises to always go before us. He comes behind us. He's with us. We know that. And so we can find comfort in that. They should have been able to find comfort in the fact that He's sending His angel before them. Then He says, I'm going to drive out all these people. I'm going to give you this land that's flowing with milk and honey. This is such a prosperous land that you're going to. It is a beautiful land that I've prepared, I've promised, and I'm going to give it to you. And if we stopped right there, this is a great passage. Great comfort for those people. But God goes on to say, but I'm not going with you. Man, He's doing all this other stuff. He's sending, He's driving them out. But He says, I will not go up with you. That just makes you shudder from everything He said He was going to do. Because He had been with them there on the mountain. He had been in their midst. And now all of a sudden, He says, I will not go with you. Because basically you're a stiff-necked people, and if I go, I'll consume you. So this is the news that the people heard, and I love this next verse. It says, and when the people heard this bad news, they mourned. They heard the news that God is going to send His angel before them. God is going to drive out all these people. He's giving you a land that He's promised to your forefathers. He's giving you a land that's very prosperous, flowing with milk and honey. You'll have everything you need. And they heard it as bad news. They reported it is when the people heard this bad news, they mourned and no one put on his ornaments. In other words, they were so sad that they just did not even get dressed. They were not going to just go out into the day. They just were in a state of mourning. For the Lord said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I could come up into your midst in one moment and consume you. Now, therefore, take off your ornaments that I may know what to do to you. So the children of Israel stripped themselves of all their ornaments by Mount Horeb. So here are these people, and they're at a point of realizing God is not happy with them. God says, if I was to be in your midst, I would consume you. Now we are so blessed to know that that's not how God sees us today, because He sees us. Once we've accepted Christ as our Savior, He sees us through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But He still sends us up. He still promises to go before us. But He's still not content with where we are. Sometimes we think, oh, well, I'm under grace. Everything's okay. And God sees me as righteous, so everything's okay. I can just keep going the way I am. But that's not what the Bible tells us. You know, the commercials say God gets you. God understands where you're at. You're good where you're at. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that God loves us, but He loves us too much to leave us the way we are. And so they are told to leave this area, and God says, I'm not going to go with you. He says, because if I did, I would consume you. So He wants them to basically strip spiritually, emotionally, materially bare before Him right there. In verse 7, it says, Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from camp, and called it the Tabernacle of Meeting. And it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the Tabernacle of Meeting, which was outside the camp. I love this passage about this tent. I think the last time I did this, talked about this verse was clear back in 2019. But like I said, this week as I begin to read through, I was just going through some verses, I get to this idea of Moses took his tent and pitched it outside the camp, far from the camp. And I'm sitting there looking out the window, and my thought is, where's my tent? Where's my tent? Because if this was our camp, where is my tent? And I think, well, it's in my office. That's where I do my studying. That's where I do my reading. That's where I will focus and pray, and is here in our camp. But God says to Moses, Moses takes his tent and he pitches it outside of the camp. Why? Well, I'll just be honest with you. There's a lot of times that I'll be in the middle of doing something and we'll get a phone call or somebody will stop by, and it's busyness. It's the things that we need to do. And you're the same way. Wherever you're at, we have so much going on in our lives that we end up with the distractions of life. And they're not bad things. They're things that we have to do. But Moses took his tent and pitched it outside of camp, far from camp. He pitched it outside of camp because there needs to be a separation. He needed a place that he could go to where it was just him and God. And you and I need that place. Now, there's been times in my life when I think, oh, well, this, I'll just do it as I'm walking. I'll do it if I'm sitting at home, or I'll do it if I'm sitting in the office, or I'll do it if I'm driving down the road, or I'll talk to God in all these places. And that's good that we can do that. But what am I really doing? I'm fitting God into my schedule. And when Moses set his tent outside of camp, when he wanted to go and meet with God, he had to put everything else aside and specifically go for one reason. And so as I'm sitting there this week and I get this thought of, where's your tent? Do you have that place that you go to, and the only reason you go there, you don't go there to do anything other than to meet God? Do we have that place? We should. Because I think, one, it helps us because we're separate. My phone is not there. My TV is not there. You know, the distractions, even the good things of life, are not there. Moses, if he's in camp, he's constantly got somebody coming up and asking him, complaining, doing something. Hey, can you do this? What do you think about that? You know, help us decide about this. But what he does is he sets this tent far from camp. And not just separation from camp, but far from camp. It took him a while to get there. And I think it's far from camp because as I picture this, as I picture the camp, and it doesn't tell us how far it is, it just says it's far from camp. And as I'm thinking about that this week, as he's setting up this tent, couldn't it just go a little distance and still have separation? Possibly. But he goes far from camp. And I think the reason for that is so that if it's close, I can just jump out there anytime. And that seems like that would be okay. But what about if it's far from camp, then I'm going to really want to walk. If it's a mile from camp, and I'm not saying it was, but if it's a mile from camp and I want to go, I'm going to really have to want to go for me to walk a mile to get to this tent. For me to go far from camp, I'm going to, one, I need the separation, but two, as I'm going to that tent, my heart would have time to prepare, because that's the only reason I'm going, is to meet God. The only reason I'm going is to commune with God. And as I walk that distance, however far it is, I've got to start separating my mind from camp to where I'm going. And I think sometimes that's my biggest mistake. When the house we used to live in, I had a room. It used to be Josh's old bedroom. And I would go in there and I'd shut the door. And it would just be me and my Bible and my notebook. And I would get down beside the bed and I would take notes and I would pray and I would read. And I'd take notes and I'd pray and I'd read. And there were no distractions. But I knew each night when I got ready to go in there, I had to prepare. If I was watching football or if I was watching something else on TV or if I'd been talking on the phone, I had to put that stuff aside knowing I need to get into that room and I know what I'm going to do when I get into that room, so my heart needs to be right. And I walked maybe 20 feet. I mean, the refrigerator was right around the wall. But sometimes I think the longer the distance, the farther from camp, the more prepared my heart is. And now that doesn't mean if my location where I have my quiet time that's separate from all the distractions, if it's just right the next door, it's more of the understanding that I need to prepare my heart before I go into the tent. I think that's the reason for far from camp in my understanding. For me, that's why I would need it to be far from camp. And he called it the tabernacle of meeting. It had a place where his specific title for it was the place to meet God. And I think about, where's my tent? Is it separated? Is it where I'm prepared to meet God, so much so that I would call that not Josh's room, but the place where I meet God. Do I have a place that in my mind, in my heart, that I could call the place where I meet God? That's what Moses had, was this place that he called the tabernacle of meeting. It says, and it came to pass that everyone who sought the Lord went out to the tabernacle of meeting, which was outside the camp. Now, in this case, he set up this tent. It wasn't his personal, it wasn't his only. It was for anybody that wanted to meet with God. So everyone that sought the Lord went to this tabernacle that was outside the camp. In this case, it's a little different than ours because Moses sets up this tent specifically. But we know that Moses was willing to go out to this camp, to this tent, outside camp, far out from camp. But were there other people that were willing to do it? It says that everyone who sought the Lord had to go to a place of meeting. They had to seek a place. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go to Josh's room, but you have to want to seek God. I have to want to seek God. You probably have that place where you meet with God, and I don't have to go there. In the Old Testament, the presence of God would dwell. The Shekinah glory would come down on the tent of meeting, and people were able to see that God's presence was there. And if they wanted to meet with God, if they truly sought the Lord, then they would go to that place. The saddest thing is, unfortunately, a lot of people think, well, if I just go to church, I'm going to meet God. And yes, we pray that that happens. Every time we come in here, we pray that people come and they experience a meeting with God. But unless there's preparation before they get here, it's probably never going to happen. Unless they come with a desire, separated from the world. How many times have we come into church and we've brought all of the baggage of life with us? All those things that we need to be separate from, we bring with us. We need to come to a place, not a building, but a place to where my desire is to meet with God. And I prepare in advance before I get there that I'm going to, when I get there, I'm going to seek the Lord. That's what they had to do. They had to seek the Lord in this tent, which was outside of camp. So it was whenever Moses went out to the tabernacle, that all the people rose. Each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. Now, these aren't people that are going to the tabernacle. They're watching someone else. They're watching Moses go to the tabernacle. And so it tells us that many went out there, or some went out there and sought the Lord and went out to the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, outside the camp. But it also tells us that some people just watched Moses go out to the tabernacle. And they rose up, and each man stood at his tent door and watched Moses until he had gone into the tabernacle. They watched Moses until he went into the tabernacle. What if Moses hadn't went to the tabernacle? Where would those other people have been? I mean, think about that. How many times do people watch you go to meet with the Lord and it affects them? 9 says, and it came to pass when Moses entered the tabernacle that a pillar of the cloud descended, the Shekinah glory, descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. When Moses went to the place that he had set aside, that he had separated, that he had prepared to meet the Lord, when he went to that place, the Lord met him there. When you and I separate ourselves, when we go with an intent to meet with the Lord, He promises us that He will meet us there. If you will seek me, you will find me. If you seek with me with all your heart. Problem is, sometimes we don't seek with all of our heart. Or that's my problem sometimes. But it comes to pass that he entered, and the Shekinah glory comes down and stands at the door of the tabernacle of the Lord, and he talked with Moses. He met with him. He communicated with Moses. Because Moses had set up this place with the specific intent of meeting with God. And God met him there. Then it said, all the people saw the pillar of the cloud standing at the tabernacle, at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose and worshiped, each man in his tent door. I've always wondered about this part of this passage. Did they worship because they saw the Shekinah glory meeting and talking with Moses, the presence of God meeting and talking with Moses. They saw this cloud, and all the people rose and worshiped. We hope, and I think that they worshiped God because they saw His presence come down and talk with Moses. So each man worshiped at his own tent door. But again, as I read that, I always have this thought in the back of my mind. They were worshiping God because God was speaking to someone else. Not because God was speaking to them. Remember what kind of people these were? They were a stiff-necked people. They were a people that, when it benefited them, they were good. When things didn't go their way, they complained. So I wonder, as we look at this, all these people that saw this cloud, they went and stood at their door, and they worshiped when they saw this pillar of cloud come down and talk with Moses. So the Lord spoke to Moses face to face. And that's got to affect not just Moses, that's got to affect everybody. We know that many of the people did not have that opportunity. But people could go out to that tent. It tells us up there earlier in verse 7 that many people could go to that tent and seek the Lord. Or they could stay back and worship at their tent door because the Lord spoke to someone else. But when the Lord spoke to Moses, He spoke face to face as a man speaks to his friend. And then He would return to camp. So He would go out and he would speak to the Lord, and the Lord would speak to him face to face as one friend does to another. And again, I think this is just another small picture of the same kind of thing. Moses was on Mount Sinai, and God says, okay, I want you to leave. I want you to go to this other land. And now here's Moses in the tent of meeting. God is there speaking to him face to face. And then it says Moses left that tent. How hard would that be? To have to leave that tent. Wouldn't it have been so easy just to stay right there in that tent? Just sit there and listen to God, talk to God face to face. Experience the presence of God. The glory of God fills the tent. Wouldn't it have been really easy to want to stay there? I can remember a song years ago, and I don't remember it all. I just remember part of it was, it had the gist of, you couldn't live life up on the mountain. You had to come back down, because that's where you're going to reach those people that will never come to the mountain themselves. Like I said, I don't remember the words to the song. That was the gist of it. It'd be so easy for us, it'd be so easy for me to, and for you to find that place where we meet God, where we seek God, and where we go in and His Word comes alive to us. And it becomes so real to us, and we experience it, and we see how the God of the universe speaks to us as an individual. He gives us His Word, and He will bring something alive out of His Word that I've never seen before, though I've read it 100 times, and I know it's God speaking to me. And how easy would it be to want to stay right there? But He says, no, you can't live up on the mountain. You can't stay here. You can't live in this tent. You can't stay here. Though that would be the easiest. God says, the people that I want you to reach are never going to be in this tent if you don't go out and reach them. The people that want to hang around at the foot of the mountain, until you go back down, they're never going to experience what you experienced. And we know from other scriptures, when Moses would after meeting with God, his face would glow to the point that he would have to put a veil over his face because people didn't want to talk to him because they could see that just being in the presence of God changed him. But he went from being in the presence of God to doing whatever he had to do to where he could relate the presence of God to them. And if that meant covering his face with a veil so he could come and talk to them about the presence of God, what God had told him to share, then that's what he did. Moses had to return to the camp, not for Moses' benefit, but for the benefit of the people at the camp. And so as I'm reading this and I'm thinking of over this, praying over this, God says, do you have a tent? Is your tent changing you enough that you're able to take what I give you in your tent back to other people? Or are you just wanting to keep it here at the tent? Because when God gives us something, when He gives us His Word, when He gives us His blessing, when He gives us a testimony, when He gives us a ministry, whatever it happens to be, He didn't give it to us to keep it in the tent. He gave it to us to return to camp. But how many times do we refuse to take what we've got at that tent? Man, it encourages us, but when I get back to the camp, I immediately see all the things of camp life that just never are going to understand the tent. And so it's easier just to not bring it up. Yes, it affected me. Yes, I was blessed because of it. But I never take it back to the people in the camp. Those people that will never experience it because all they're worshiping is what they see other people do. I talk to people all the time about, and they'll say, oh man, I saw God was moving in so-and-so's life, and so-and-so told me that this was what God was doing, and this was how God has changed their life. That's great, but we need to realize that I can't just constantly be talking about how God has done this through Andy or this through Larry or this through Judy. What's He doing through me? What has my tent done to me? What has God done to me through my tent time that I've brought back? So my worship is not based on what I see Kay do at her tent. My worship is based on me seeking the Lord in my place, wherever that's at. And to close up here, as Moses talks face to face and he speaks with, as he would speak with a friend, and he would return to camp, but his servant Joshua, son of Nun, a young man, did not depart from the tabernacle. Whew. Now, that's a blessing for Joshua to be able to just stay in that tent. But you know, we can keep reading. Joshua spent more time in the tent after Moses left. When he went to the tent, he probably went when Moses went out there and he went with Moses to the tent. But when Moses left, Joshua stayed. Joshua was a disciple of Moses, but he wasn't worshiping Moses. He was worshiping God. And when Moses departed back to the camp, Joshua wanted more tent time. Now there would come a time in his life where he was going to be called out of the tent. When Moses didn't make it into the promised land, and God said, here you are. You're leading this group now. His tent time had to prepare him for the troubled time ahead. That's what we've got to have. The tent time, it's not going to last forever. God's going to call us out of that tent to make a difference in the camp. And Joshua's tent time, he kept as much of it, he kept it as long as he could, but the thing was, he was going to eventually be called out of that tent by God to say, okay, now you're going to do something that you never dreamed that you would be the one doing this. You're going to be the one that's going to lead this group into the promised land. You're going to attack, the walls of Jericho are going to fall. All of the things that he ended up doing stem back to the tent time. The things that God is going to call you and me to do are going to be strengthened, are going to be purposed by our tent time. So my challenge, I guess, tonight for me is to make sure I have that tent, to make sure my tent time is a place where I'm prepared to meet the Lord. And when I go to that time, that it's time between just me and Him. It's not between me and my Moses. It's not between me and anybody else. It's between me and Him, that He's preparing me for what lies ahead. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for this opportunity tonight to open Your Word. Lord, I just pray that You would help us to see that it all comes down to how much time we spend with You, whether we want to do that. Lord, help us to separate ourselves from the world. Help us to do what You've called us to do, Lord, that we might honor and glorify You. Watch over us as we go from this place, as we return to camp. May we glorify and honor You. In Your name we pray. Amen.